Welcome everyone to today's episode of Type Talks, and we have with us some amazing musical geniuses in the workings. And so, Brandon, would you like to tell us a bit about you?
So I'm Brandon Islib. I do music sometimes as Restless Mosaic, and that's how I'm here, because Lily and Kristen are my vocalist for the album called Made by Thawing Ice, very intentional initials. But that also stands for me, Brandon Terrell Islib, because an INTP does nothing without multiple layers. By day, I am the Seattle Code Reviser. I have my own law that I wrote that gives me powers. And I also get up to a bunch of different things. I am in the Patreon communities of both Kristen and Lily. And at the moment, nobody else. So they have me to myself. I'm on Kristen's INTJ tier, which is, you know, that's where the fun really starts, because she lets us try to punch up the scripts. And that's, I absolutely adore trying to get various jokes in the door. So that's me.
Plug there, Brandon. Thank you.
Oh, of course. I mean, I want people to give the other people on this stream money.
They are wonderful creators. And so definitely go check out everyone in the links below. They are wonderful, splendid, and have so much great content to offer the world, humanity, and the type space at large. And so, Lily, would you like to tell us a bit about you?
Okay, I am Lily AQVQ or Akvik or Akviki. It really depends.
I've always wondered how to pronounce that.
Yeah, it's... It's just my last name, but I removed the vowels. So it's Akiviki.
Oh, yes. There's a preview of the vocals you're going to hear later.
Yeah, I'm going to sing the whole song. No, I'm kidding. Well, I am right now looking for a job because I am an environmental engineer. And hopefully it will work this week. And also, I like creating weird content of the personality types. I'm currently working on something very different now. And yeah, I'm very excited about this panel.
Heck yes.
It's going to be very, very fun.
It is going to be a fun ride. And Kristen, mm-hmm. Would you like to tell us a bit about you?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm Kristen. I create YouTube sketches on the 16 personalities over at my channel called Dear Kristen. Not really a musical, like I don't really have much musical stuff going on. I sing all day, every day. I'm into musical theater, but aside from that, I haven't really had many musical endeavors. This is the first time where I've done anything like this. So it's been a lot of fun. Aside from that, I'm also a high school teacher. Woo!
Heck yeah. And so Dear Kristen and Lily have amazing 16 personality skit channels, and they're really funny, and they'll get you to laugh until you cry. You'll be in a fit of humorous amazement at these skit makers. So go check out below. You will always enjoy and never regret it. And so, hi everyone, my name is Joyce, and I'm a certified MBTI master practitioner. And I facilitate the instrument in organizations. I also coach people, and I help people on the discovery process of figuring out their type. And I also one day want to create a song with Brandon. So if he would have me one day, maybe he can add me to the list of YouTubers he's creating content.
Top of mind, Joyce. Top of mind.
Awesome. And so I'll have Brandon's song with Lily featured at the very end of this interview. So if you want to listen to it, just feel free to skim over to the end. And with Kristen's song, it's in the workings, and you will hear the wonderfulness in the album when you purchase it. Wink, wink. But I didn't wink while I was winking. I mean, when I was singing. And so, Brandon, would you like to tell us a bit about your song with Lily and the meaning behind it or the significance behind it? And it's everything.
it's everything is exactly correct. So... For this album, Made by Thawing Ice, with incredibly intentional initials, not just for MBTI, but for me, Brandon Terrell Islib, my actual name, That gives you a sense of the love of multiple layers that I think is endemic to INTPs. But this song, I approached Lily after seeing that she had made Whimsical and was interested in a Cognitive Functions album. And I thought, well, it'd be really fun to have INTPs team up for a song, especially one that let Lily sing in her native language, which the world has not heard as much of, Whimsical being in English. Mm-hmm. And I very much like the Argentinian urban tango artist, I believe it's pronounced Jimena Fama. If you've seen So You Think You Can Dance, some of her tracks have undergirded some of the tango on there. She's like an Argentinian tango ambassador officially by the Argentinian government. Now, I do have a friend who's written two books on Argentinian tango and isn't sure that's tango, but it's crossover tango. Crossover lets us just put any and a bunch of words in. So the concept for this song, and where I thought it'd be a lot of INTP fun, is Latin music as stereotyped in the West is very E and S and F, if you're going to put it down to something. If it's a song that is in Spanish and they're half speaking it, half singing it, are they Shakira? Are they an Iglesias of some description? That's what gets ported to the West. So, like, in a very shallow, stereotypical way, I think someone hears a song in Spanish when they're in the United States or in England or somewhere like that, and they just assume it's about some sort of sensual body-based topic or something like that. So I wanted to take that energy, but corral it into a completely INTP-centric subject. I suggested a spreadsheet to Lily in pitching this idea. Lily came back with a list of things she was into, and Minesweeper was one of them. So I spent half an hour writing English lyrics that were just a bunch of double entendres to the yellow happy face of Minesweeper, at least Minesweeper for Windows. When you want to start a new game, you click on the yellow face. It's always there being happy until you click on a mine, and then its eyes become X's, and it has a sad face. So Lily is singing a bunch of double entendres to the yellow happy face of Minesweeper as a send-up of Western stereotypes about Latin music always being sensual and feeling-based. And that is where that becomes INTP content, because Lily sings it completely straight. There is no indication that this is a humor song at all. I believe it is very INTP to make a joke and let it sit and let people discover it. I mean, I'm spilling the beans here, but that's the idea behind the whole song. It's meant sort of to sail over some people's heads. But if you're in the MBTI community, the way in which it becomes MBTI content, it's almost like sort of you get a deluxe package of understanding the song if you're a member of the MBTI community, not just because you might have heard Lily already and you know she's great, but because it's this extra level of taking on why are cultures stereotyped in other cultures as having a predominant predominant MBTI profile. And so this is just 3 minutes of like dark cinematic Argentinian urban tango where Lily speaks the verses and has some very low singing vocals. It almost sounds like a creepy lullaby in a happy way. And I love it, and everybody else I know loves it. But I also threw in an English pun that doesn't translate. Like Lily even did a double check as translating the lyrics for me of, you know this isn't going to translate, right? And it's like, yes, I only want people to discover this if they have the translations. I throw in a reference to an early 90s dance song that I just adapted for the size of the beginner Minesweeper grid. No reason why other than I wanted to. So there are a bunch of these just weird kind of INTP tentacles between us that we turn into what sounds like a very sensual Latin song. And the fun the fun part about that is when I shared it with Kristen for the first time, she fell for the trap. I said trap, so I can't say hook, line, and sinker, but because that's for bait and not traps. But yes, Kristen asked what Lily was singing about, and it was completely opposite to everything she expected. So I was like, yeah, ding, this is working.
Literally. I mean, that's the first time I've heard a lot of that. That's awesome that there's so many, you know, layers, because I absolutely did fall for the trap. And just to translate everything that Brandon just said into ESFP language, this song is what we call a vibe.
It is incredibly sexy and sensual sounding, and then you figure out it's about mind speaking.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, there are lines like all my best times are with you, because in each difficulty level it's called best times as to who has the highest score. There will be no question marks when I am with you, because that's a setting you can enable or disable depending on how you like to play Minesweeper.
Todos mis mejores tiempos son contigo.
Oh, there it is! It's happened!
She's arrived, everyone. But yeah, Lily turned in just this incredible performance. And yeah, like when I listen to the song, I can't believe it's my song even that we came up with this.
When I've been driving and like listening to the song as I'm driving and I'm just loving it, you know, and I've got the windows down, just diving. And then I just hear Lily's voice and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try be this sensual. And I'll be like, I'm like, I could never be this guy. It's a gift. You have a gift.
Engineer by day, tango singer by night.
Yeah.
We've all seen that movie. We know how it works. She goes to the bright lights of New York and everything works out. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. And so have you explained to us all of the puns in that song, or just the surface level of all of the puns?
Just the surface level. The lyrics and their translation are up on Bandcamp if you go to the individual track link.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, every single line is a reference in some way. The song is called A la cara amarilla, which means to the yellow face.
A la cara amarilla.
Just to give people like a fighting chance of knowing what the song is about if they don't look it up. But yes, every line somewhere. The early 90s dance song I reference is a song called 10 times 10 by 808 State. And they have this line sung by gospel singers, because in the early 90s, you threw gospel singers into random places. You know, it was the thing to do in 93, my understanding. But for some reason, they sing Raise the Feeling, Love Squared 10 times 10, and a beginner Minesweeper grid is 8 times 8. So Lily, at the very end, when everything's dropped out but the synth bass, sings, I want to raise the feeling, love squared, 8 by 8. There's no real point for it other than that I thought of it. But, you know, that's
that
the
part. And then the cool Parisian music starts. Dude, no, I'm not going to attend.
Yeah. When it comes to a TI love of structure, and at some point I'll mention the reviews I had for album one that accurately predicted my cognitive stack without knowing any MBTI, because it's freaky. I have 6 different reviews from 6 different people that correctly get my cognitive stack right. And that's when I was like, okay, this is unusual. Maybe I can make MBTI adjacent music and it actually come off right. Where was I going with that? Said the INTP.
NE has no destination. It's just a ride. It's amazing kind of journey.
Oh, I remember. After the first chorus in Lily's song, I introduce a scale on electric guitar that turns out not to have a name. I follow it consistently through the song, so it plays well with itself, but the scale does not have a name in history. I apparently just kind of made it up. And I believe it to be a very true-to-stack compositional style, and I'm inspired by particularly the band Underworld, who was very, 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 very good at doing this. They set their own rules for the song through the song, and then spend the second half of the song breaking those rules. And I feel that to be a very T-I-N-E in that order approach that I use a whole lot. And if I have particular genres I'm referencing, like tango, that brings that S-I in, that kind of familiar trod path to an extent. But I'm never staying in one genre. I'm using the S-I familiarity and comfort of something you already know exists, and then just N-E-ing the mess out of it, but all within a structure. My favorite quote on this, just listen to my top three cognitive stack in action in two sentences. Basically, Islip didn't feel the need to constrain himself to a specific electronic music model. So the picking up on that I care about genres to some degree, he tries to combine and let in as many as he could. You've got that N-E coming in without going too much overboard. There's that like TI governor over the whole thing. At that, he experiments, but also tries to make sure that his compositions have both a head and a tail, both melody and rhythm. So like there's TI governing the N-E, and N-E is using S-I under that. And I'm like, what the actual crap? People were figuring out my cognitive functions without knowing any cognitive functions. And that's not to say that every INTP musician writes according to their stack. Lily's Discord manager is a much more successful musician than I will ever be, and is also an INTP. I don't think he would describe things in terms of his stack. I just happen to like writing in a way that reflects my stack, so I'm just going to keep leaning into it, and if people like it, that's fantastic.
It's interesting. You really do show your functions through your music, all the SI references, and you know it's an NP when they're very obscure references. It's like, mostly the NP will know all of them, and it's like, sometimes it takes people a while to fully get the obscure reference, and it's like, oh yeah, now you get it.
I will note that if you buy the album on Bandcamp, it comes with an album commentary where I explain basically everything.
Everything.
Because the song has a lot of layers of mystery.
Well, I'm willing to spend multiple pages because it's my document and it's my bonus material, so I might as well. But it's also an activity book. There is a board game in there. It's a really bad board game that's mostly for comedy effect, but you could print it out and play it with your friends if you so desired. It's just a chance to shoehorn in all sorts of randomness, really. But I don't like to keep these secrets to myself in one sense. I want people to get the chance to understand it all if they're so inclined. But yes, there are a billion layers in Lily's song. There are a bunch of layers in Kristen's song when we talk about that as well.
I was just going to say, can we get Lily to say the name of the song again?
A la cara amarilla. Estás feliz de verme, pero te sorprendes cuando te toco.
Stop! This wasn't ready!
Espero. Oh my gosh, I forgot the lyrics.
I've listened to it that many times, I would know them, but I just don't know the language.
So it's so good, yeah.
Espero no arruinarte esta vez.
Espero no arruinarte esta vez. Todos mis mejores momentos son contigo.
Yeah.
Amazing. Good. Yeah, gold story. It should be on the radio. Cara,
a la cara amarilla.
A la cara amarilla.
Amarilla, yes. Yeah,
I've been pronouncing it a la cara amarilla.
many will, I'm sure. If you buy the album on Bandcamp, it will also come with a remix that a British friend of mine who goes by the Coherent Alliance made. When he heard the song, like I had the day I got it mastered, he heard it. The next day he had produced a remix of this song. He loved what he heard so much, an idea just came into his head. He spent 12 straight hours on it and just turned it around for me the next day. And that one is
also very good.
That one brings a whole different dimension because it's a psytrance style remix, and Lily just comes off as this like omnipotent ice queen. And yes, I'm absolutely so here right. for it.
You do have so queen right. vibes. Thank you.
like you're the goddess of Minesweeper. just planting flags where you may.
Is that why you set that background, Brandon? Because it has a Minesweeper vibe?
No. I make my artwork. I make these mosaics in Excel using random number generators and color coding. If you use conditional formatting for something like accounting, I make the numbers bigger than the cells so that you can't see there are numbers in there. And so I've set like 5 conditional formattings and it's all randomized. And then I lay a shape on top of it. So that what? if I hit enter, I procedurally generate a new mosaic and I can change the colors every time. If you go out of my Bandcamp site, you'll see a number of these. And I can also like use color gradients to make slight shapes in them and stuff like that. So this behind me is the album artwork for Made by Thawing Ice. So I went with cool blue tones to be kind of icy.
And because of Lily's ice queenness.
Yeah, it's a worship background, basically.
Oh my god.
Yes, this is sacred Microsoft Excel art. This is why my first idea when pitching to Lily was a spreadsheet, because I adore spreadsheets. I make my album art in Excel.
Wow.
It's wonderful. So Brandon, could you tell us a little bit about Thawing Ice and what it means?
Yes. Well, since my artist name is Restless Mosaic. And the idea from that is really an NE based, it's a TI plus NE idea. The word I like to use to think of my music and the music I like is not complex, because that implies that there's too little TI. You should be able to pick up on what it's doing, even if you're not sure where it's going. There should be enough handholds in there to help. So the term I like to use is intricate. And when I was coming up with an artist name to convey what intricacy was, the idea of mosaic came to me. But the other thing about feeling intricate is that sometimes you also feel trapped as a human. You feel like you just want to bust out sometimes and let loose and let people know what you're about. So the artist name Restless Mosaic is kind of the idea of a sentient, intricate being, which I think we all feel in different ways at different times, right? I think that's a very human thing to feel, like people aren't getting our depth, people aren't getting what there is to us, and we just kind of like to break out of our environs and really just get out there and show people what we're made of in whatever way that is. Kristen's way of getting out and showing what she's made of is actually literally getting out and showing what she's made of. My way is making this music. So Restless Mosaic it was, especially once I started doing the spreadsheet stuff and figured out that I could have like an art branding that I was easily capable of doing, because my art skills are negative apart from doing this. So Made by Thawing Ice, I mean, I did it for the initials. Primarily, the two layers of initials of MBTI and me, Brandon Terrell Islib. But it also goes with the artist name. If you imagine a mosaic, maybe a tile mosaic, or I guess an ice mosaic, to really go with the thawing ice, that you've had this sheet of ice, and now cracks are starting to form, and they can form an interesting pattern, and that's how you're sort of emerging personally. That's where it all kind of intersects in my mind. And it's a loose intersection, but that is where that's going. I had a song on album one called Tiles on the Tiles, which was similarly conceived, because on the tiles is a British phrase meaning to like have a night out. And so Tiles on the Tiles I conceived of as an autobiographical instrumental. So all the drum parts that you hear at the beginning of the song are all hits relative to ceramic. Like the hi-hat is dropping ceramic, the kick drum is footsteps on ceramic, the snare is just flacking some ceramic. And so that forms the central mosaic character of the narrative. And the mosaic finds a party, you hear a knocking on a door and opening the door, and you hear the background become the foreground and the foreground become the background, because the mosaic's literally moving indoors. and finds a party. There's a music video on the Restless Mosaic channel. I got a Canadian novelist, I know through Twitter, named Rebecca Christensen, to write a short story of that song based on like plot points I put at different timed bits of the song to say this is basically what's happening. So she fleshed it out and made it like kind of a whole narrative that's sort of like you're in the presence of a dungeon master setting up the narrative, only it's a timed music video instead. So these are just ways that I explored my own artist name, because it has that meaning to me of intricacy and expression as a way of breaking free from your surroundings.
Yeah. It really shows the depth of interpretation you added to this whole song. And you'll explain the puns that you wrote in just a matter of seconds, but it takes people like a while to grasp. It's like, oh, the name of his album actually is the initials of MBTI and also his name at the same time. And I'm like, wow, mind blown.
A lot of Easter eggs.
Oh, wait, what?
Easter eggs. Everywhere.
Easter eggs everywhere. Just spread it everywhere. It's Easter every day with Brandon. And so, Lily, what is your favorite part of making the song, or your favorite puns from the song?
Okay. So I remember that at first it was not easy for me to understand what was the result that Brandon was actually looking for, because I saw the lyrics and I said, okay, I'm gonna record myself singing this, and I recorded myself singing that. I gave a melody to the lyrics, and Brandon was like, nope, that's not it. And so I have my own personal version singing the song instead of actually speaking the lyrics.
What? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I got lost.
Because Lily's own song on Spotify and with the music video, Whimsical, was half sung, half spoken. That was the vein in which I conceived this song as well. And especially since that is a like Latin trope for what gets marketed. Like, it really ups the sensuality in the stereotype if you have a speaking part. You know, it's almost too sensual for notes. But the other issue was that because I knew that was the direction I was going, and because I had ended up making up an entire scale, sort of by accident, but that's just how it came about, I didn't leave Lily a lot of melodic room to begin with. That was really the true issue. I didn't realize I had not, this is my first time vocally coaching anyone, because it's my first time working with any vocalist who isn't me. In a prior project, I sang, but that was thankfully many years ago. I might try singing for album 3 again. Nick Merchant, who's in Kristen's patron group, wants me to sing on album 3. He likes my voice, so that might happen. He also does music, and he might harmonize with me on, we might co-write something on album 3.
Oh, please do. That's awesome.
We have some, he's an INFP, so our NESI core, we like a lot of things in common, as it turns out. So we correspond a lot on this, and we might do something.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that you've like made a friendship. That's cute.
Oh yeah. Also with Blue Ball on YouTube. We talk very much, but I just didn't leave Lily enough melodic room. It was a wonderful melody that she went for. I didn't give the song the chance to breathe that much. That was really the issue there. And I felt so bad in my inferior FE that I didn't convey that enough, because Lily seriously worked super hard on that, and I didn't mean to shoot down anything. I was like, oh no, but Lily was just absolutely awesome to work with, and knocked it right out of the park. And I can't believe that any part of that song came out of my head, never mind that someone really cool also wanted to work on it. Like, when I pitched the idea, she wrote back, "This is a crazily good idea." I looked up that email tonight just to get the words right.
Yeah, you should absolutely be proud of the song. It's an incredible song.
It's a masterpiece.
Oh. Well, that's on Lily for turning just one of my most bizarre visions. And something that I wrote that only would make sense if she were willing to sing on it. Because otherwise, like, I couldn't do that. I don't know other languages, and it would sound just dopey coming from me. But it was something written particularly with her channel's style and the personality that she brings to her channel in mind. Something that was there in her MBTI lane, but is also really just adjacent content. You don't have to know MBI to understand it, but it's an extra layer of understanding to know the why behind the song. It connects it better. Besides that, just lots of people in this community know who Lily is.
So my favorite part of the process, I still don't answer that question. Even though you couldn't listen to the melody I created, I think it was very fun to come up with that. And I had a lot of fun, even though it was really challenging. I had to come up with like 2 seconds every day because it would come up like suddenly. I was doing the dishes and, oh yeah, this sounds great. Let's record that. And I had a lot of little pieces of that.
Yes, that is fascinating. Feel that. this is new information to me, so I'm fascinated by this.
But yeah, recording was very fun. Recording and editing the audio. I really like editing. That's one of my favorite parts of making videos. So yeah, coming up with a melody and editing that into a song was very fun. My favorite part.
And now we have fun listening to it, so it's fun. It's great. And so now I'm wondering about the process of music that we all go through here to see where the trends are. What constitutes a good song for you guys? What do you pay attention to when you listen to music? Just to kind of see if type and how we process music is correlated.
I think I'll have the shortest answer. I just look for... sorry if you can hear that noise. There's a construction site next door. I don't know if you can hear that. Like, that's get close. Can you hear it?
The construction noise is, you know, one of the fans of your channel.
We can hear it, but it's okay.
Literally for like 6 months, my videos have been filmed like in between when I see these guys like go for like a smoko break or something. I'm like, quick, film a scene so that there's not this in the background. Anyway, they're taking a long time to build this house. Anyway. I look for something that makes my body want to dance. So whatever the vibe, like usually it's got to have a good beat. If I'm going through something emotional, I'll listen to the lyrics and I will like resonate with the lyrics. But if I'm just living life, it's just a beat. And if it has, and then I'll like find that I often learn the lyrics and will sing them, but I'll often not have stopped to think about what they mean. So that's my answer.
Okay, so I have to agree with Christine. Because I also like dancing a lot. So music is very important for me in that sense. But since it's so hard for me to connect with FI, music helps me with realizing what I'm feeling. So if I'm like confused, I don't know what I'm really feeling right now. If I listen to 5 songs, and those 5 songs are like completely different genres, and I resonate with one of them, I'm like, oh yeah, I was sad.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it really helps me with connecting with myself emotionally.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I was angry, now that I think about it, huh, wait. So yeah, music helps me post-process because the emotions, it take a while to fully settle down. Makes sense.
And then do you listen back to the song, and then now that you've realized you're sad, you listen back to that song that you realized that, and then like feel it even more?
Yes. And then I explore it. Have a full playlist of sad songs to experience the feeling because it really helps me trigger them somehow.
Yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Thank you, Lily, for bringing that up, because I had forgotten that's something that I do as well. I do something very, very similar to that. And I didn't quite have the words for that until a dialogue that Kristen and I were having recently about our bottom, our 7 and 8 functions, and feeling like it's hard to generate anything in our 7th and 8th functions. And what I realized from the way Kristen was talking about her 7th and 8th functions was that I've been doing the same with music. If you think of the cognitive stack as the top is what your body produces naturally, like if you think of hormones or something like that, that the bottom of your stack is what you need supplements for. This is in part because then I get to make the joke that I'm F-I-abetic. And so I need my introverted feeling shots. But seriously, that is what I've been using music for my whole life. For huge chunks of my life, if you asked me, what is your best feature as a person, I would have answered my music collection with a straight face. And I'm realizing that that's because that's where my FI has been. Like, not finding any within myself, I've like horcruxed it out to these songs where it's sort of like permanent files that when my body is not producing any FI, I can go to the songs and just sort of inject who I am back into me, because I've identified these songs that really resonate with me in these various areas. So yes, Lily, you encapsulated perfectly something that I had remembered but then forgot and now have thankfully re-remembered because you reminded me. Beyond that, I want to be surprised. I have listened to a metric ton of music in my life across a bajillion genres. If you grab me with something that I've never thought about or I've never heard, I'm in. I'm like, keep talking. And then I just see if it fulfills the promise of the opening. And then I go from there. So yeah, I want to be surprised in some way. If it's a chord sequence I've never heard before, if it's connecting to genres that I've never heard before. In some ways, my making music is just to put out stuff that I've been having trouble finding to purchase. You know, like, be the song you want to hear in the world is basically where I'm coming from sometimes. But there is this humongous FI importation aspect as well, particularly lyrically. When I do identify with lyrics, that's probably going to be what my FI is. And I don't think that's been well understood by people in my life. So I'm like really touched that on this panel, half the panel so far describes music use that way. I feel heard.
Yeah, it is quite beautiful. It helps you tap into your inner emotions. It's almost outsourcing that FI to that creation process. That's fantastic.
And how about you, Joyce?
Yeah, for me, I like to listen to... I actually do like songs for the vibes. So I'm more like, I like listening to if it's a good song, it's a good song. It hits your ears in a certain way. So there's a visceral component to it. I tend to resonate with songs of a specific theme. So there are certain specific themes that I gravitate to. And sometimes, so how I interpret songs is when I interpret meaning into them, I interpret meaning that the artist didn't necessarily mean to put there. So I tend to skew it toward...
One for an INFJ. That's huge.
Let's unpack that.
Sarcasm.
Yeah, so the song might initially be about something else, but then I'll interpret, you can actually see that this could be a song about death and grief and how they're cycling through the stages of grief throughout these different lyrics. And that might have not been the artist's meaning for that song, but it's almost like I have these main concepts that I really care about, and I can find ways that the external world are demonstrating these main core concepts. But I'm really just making everything make sense with those core concepts I see underlying the reality around us. And so I do find, like, I find with NESI users, because they're able to make obscure references so easily, like they'll take this specific concept and be able to relate it to so many things and interpretations. With some of them, you'll notice that they can very quickly pick up on a song's meaning. So they'll listen to a lyric or something and they'll go like, you know, that could mean that, 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 or that. And they're able to kind of like infer meaning very quickly upon just like kind of reading lyrics. And I find that NESI is like the best at that. Like when they initially read it, with some of them, they're very quick to interpret the SI behind something. You notice within Brandon's speech and also Lily's speech, like they'll include like these mini Easter eggs within everything. So I noticed that NESI goes through life noticing Easter eggs and everything because of just how their mind works. And this can be shown in how they interpret songs too. Cool. And so perhaps we can bring this to Kristen. What prompts you to sing?
I don't see Easter eggs in anything. People have found Easter eggs in my videos that I didn't even intentionally put there. Genuinely. Like, oh, in the background, there's that book that's from that scene. It was in the background of that one scene. You must be implying this other thing. And I'm like, no, no, I'm never implying other things. Sometimes it's fun to like intentionally make a reference. But yeah, anyway, go on.
Yeah, yeah, that is so true. And so, Kristen, I also want to ask you about, what about singing every day makes you happy? So you said that you like to sing every day, or you like to sing often. What prompts you to do that? What about it is wonderful? What are you thinking as you're singing? Or what is your process behind singing every day, I guess? So
Is there a process more than just going with the feeling of the moment? It just hits me and I have to do it. Like, yeah, I think it reflects a mood, maybe. Like, I'll usually sing when I'm feeling, like when I'm doing things, I'm usually singing. When I'm driving, I'm usually singing. When I'm like, yeah, I think I have to be feeling quite light or happy or content or peaceful to be singing. Otherwise, I might just be in my thoughts or feelings about something. But it's kind of like one mode or the other. It's like either I'm like thinking deeply about a feeling, or I'm in TE mode and I'm just doing things, getting them done, or I'm singing or just, I don't know. There's, well, yeah, when I'm alone, it's like that. When there's other people, I don't sing as much because, yeah, well, that's not socially acceptable in many, many scenarios. So
That sounds to me like, that especially that last bit, talking about that you do it a lot when you're alone, it's almost like your self-reassurance of your own extroversion. Because you're talking about you do it when you're happy, so it's like when you're most in balance with yourself is when you're singing, but it's also when you're largely when you're alone. So it's like you're creating your own party around you when there isn't a party.
Yeah. Well, think about it. I mean, SE feeds off energy in the external environment in a chaotic way. And we, like ESPs, therefore need to, especially ESFPs, I must say, EFPs would look like this in general, but ESFPs specifically with SE, they would want to like that expression that I have of that feeling or that FI needs to be in the physical world somehow. Like it can't just be in my brain thinking about these ideas, maybe like an ENFP or an NE user could be. It has to be in the physical world somehow. So I often love when my housemates leave and I am able to blast the music like really, really loud because I just can't when they're around. I can't like fully belt out a show tune when they're around. Just they know me and they love that I do that, but just out of consideration to them, I wouldn't. But yeah, I guess, yeah, I'm always feeding off the energy in the external world. So if there's no one around and I can be free to just create that energy for myself, then I will do that. I think that's why I do it alone so much.
Yeah.
It's like audio perfume.
Please elaborate on that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's like, it's what you want to give off. It's what you want, like, your very near environment to be. You want it to be this happy place of singing. And if no one is happily singing around you, there's always a way to give it off.
Yeah. 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 No, true.
So yes, strange analogy land. Hello, I'm an INTP. Welcome to the party.
Yeah, you're like, here's an analogy. And I'm like, I can't naturally see the link. You're going to have to draw the link for me.
Yeah. When they say extroverted intuition is connecting desperate topics that are seemingly unrelated, that's what it means. Like, that's an example. Like,
Yeah.
It sounded related in my head.
No, it is. It makes sense.
It is related, but the typical average Joe would not think to relate them together. So they are related, but you're better at seeing the relation between things than most people are. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Cool. And so, Lily, when did you start singing? What brought about that passion? And what is your relationship with singing?
Okay. There is a story of me running towards a stage while someone else was singing Barbie, the song, the I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie. Okay, someone was singing that song, and apparently I yelled, "Esa es mi canción." That's my song, because I used to practice that with my uncle. My uncle is a musician, and I used to be on the rehearsals that this singer was having with my uncle. I would just listen there, and I learned the song, and I run towards the stage, and I take the microphone away from this girl, and I start singing that song. And I was like 3 years old.
Claim that song.
I was like 3 years old. I was a very extroverted kid. I think I have always liked singing. I always sing, like, not actual songs. If I have a thought, I start singing. I had to go to get some groceries today. And then I made that song right now.
That's so cool.
So if they can also be like deeper things. Like, you didn't text me, babe. And for some reason, that's my way of taking out my thoughts and looking at them in front of me. So yeah, I do sing a lot to process things. And yeah, when I made Whimsical, I was very excited because I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. And I wrote like 4 short songs. They were all based on the YouTube audio library. And yeah, suddenly one of them was very good to me, in my opinion, and I made a full song. And then Winnie, the Discord manager that Brandon mentioned, contacted me to make an actual song from that, not using the audio library, but actual music that would be able to be on Spotify. And yeah, that's how it started. Now I'm making the extroverted sensing song.
Nice.
That's gonna be very cool. And I'm planning on having different genres for each cognitive function.
That is freaking awesome. Oh, that's so cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
When you end up finishing it, feel free to send me the link. I'd love to check it out.
Okay,
I will. Cool. And I'd love to provide it to the audience members too. So your album Whimsical, where can people find it?
Okay, Whimsical is in a lot of platforms. I don't even know. On Spotify, it's mainly. You can use it on Instagram stories as well, on Reels.
Oh, cool.
And on Bandcamp too.
Yep, that's where I bought it.
Yeah. in every single platform. I'm not even sure now. But those and more.
When you sign up with with an online distributor, I use DistroKid. A lot of people use TuneCore. If you look at YouTube auto-generated stuff, it's generated by these things, and they just distribute to all the platforms at once. So I'm with Lillian not knowing everywhere my song is, because they'll like email you, "It just got added to thing I've never heard of." Okay, all right. If someone picks it up there, that is fantastic. But I don't know how to direct people there.
That's awesome.
Because I you know, it just becomes gibberish, some of the names of these platforms after a while. Mm-hmm. Like tingboom.netters. Like, I don't know. I'm just making stuff up, and it's like, okay, great. Song's there. Really, the, you know, at least for, we've heard the master in action. making a new song to process the name.
Incredible.
I do want to mention here that most of where people have heard my music at this point is Kristen's videos. Like 90% of all plays of my songs are people watching Kristen's videos. Because when I approached her with the song that we're doing called Multicam Behavioral Health, I asked, you know, what she wanted in return. And what she wanted was to use my music copyright free in her stuff. And I was like, wait, I'm paying her in my increased audience. I am replying yes as fast as humanly possible. You have never seen an INTP move as fast as when I responded to that email with, like, basically yes. I couldn't put it in bold and caps. I tried to keep at least some manner of decorum, since this is the first time we had communicated at all. But yes, the most prominent use is in, I think it was November's 16 Personalities Interacting at a Party sketch, where the INTP is dancing unusually to the title track from album one. So it's an INTP dancing to INTP music.
Unusually. You don't dance like that on the dance floor. I dance like that all the time.
Those are interesting dance moves. Embodying the bard class, he weaves magic into his moves to enchant the mysterious lass across the room. He is a master of song, gracefully harnessing the echoes of ancient masters of the dance into the slightest gesture, smoothest nod, a subtle body shake. I will most definitely have whatever he's having.
I was known enough in college for dancing exactly like that, that someone wrote an English paper. We don't know who, because the professor was reading these out. But it was a month after a particularly INTP style dance I was performing at freshman orientation. I was dancing on a trash can. I like ballroom danced with the trash can for a moment. Just anything I could think of that would get a laugh. And someone the next month, on the topic Things You Feel Are Wrong, wrote a paper about how it is wrong to make fun of people with mental challenges. And the example she used, not knowing who I was me dancing that night. And what she interpreted was everyone was making fun of him and it was so terrible. And so when Kristen shows INTP dancing to an INTP song, I literally lived that 20 years ago.
Wow.
So, Kristen, your INTP impersonations are eerily spot on to just somehow my life a continent away. I don't know how you're this psychic, but there's something to you.
Oh, I mean, thanks. INTPs are the types, I've said it so many times, the type I understand the least. So I'm just kind of acting what I have visually observed and patterns I've created in external behavior from them. But I don't know what's going on or why it's there. Yeah.
I don't know either.
That's the thing. I think Kristen, with your sensory intelligence, you pick up, you know more of what an INTP looks like than an INTP knows what they look like. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, you do have extroverted sensing as quite the superpower. It really adds to your ability to kind of act as the types, your ability to kind of see them in action and to be able to, through your powers of observation, you're able to so well just take on and embody them so well. You it's almost like this skill that would originally be very good at mockery is able to use it for acting, because it's like, because I know how you're like, I can take that and I can really make humor out of it. Yeah. So you have this incredible talent and wielding of humor. And so, Brendan, I'm going to be editing in that reference to Kristen's 16 personality skit. So yeah, feel free to also send me the timestamp if you can.
Yeah. I believe it's 53 seconds, but I will. I've watched it a bunch of times and I've linked it to a bunch of people because it's just one of my most favorite things.
And it was one of my favorite moments to film, I'll be honest.
and I also had a lot of me type fun in the comments, noting that an INTP had written that song, but not saying it was me. Mm. And just letting people ride with, oh, that's cool. And they never checked my source.
Hmm.
And they never checked that Restless Mosaic was leaving a comment and the credits say Restless Mosaic song.
I noticed you doing that cheekily. I jumped on, I think, one of the comments and I was like, this INTP. And I pointed up.
Oh, that's right. You did. Comment. That's right.
He wrote it.
Spoilers. But that's, you know, I suppose vainly, it's one of my favorite. But you actually captured a moment in my life without knowing it. And I just still can't believe that. The thing is, like, your sensory understanding is as intricate as anything TI ever comes up with. And so, like, I'm drawn to that intricacy. It's just a completely different type of intricacy that I will never pick up on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if you want to feel called out, watch one of Dear Kristen's skits or Lily's skits. And you will feel like you see yourself.
A lot of things.
Oh, good. Yeah. Goodness. Anytime Lily plays like an NJ or an SJ and is just like on the go, like the ENTJ is probably the most famous of these by now, but the ESTJ really drives hard. And I should also note that Lily has used my music in her Honest INTP puppet video as well. She was looking for party music by an INTP and I happened to have one.
Hi Lily, so nice you came to my cocktail party. Feel free to talk to anyone. Everyone in here is really nice. You'll get along. How are you?
I refuse to answer this pointless question. That is not actually want a true answer.
I'm fine.
So, Lily, I heard you're a graduate. Congratulations. What is your 5-year plan?
Of course I have thought about it, and I don't know, really. I have no plan. 5 years, really? I barely know what I'll do tomorrow. I was thinking of doing nothing or waiting for the inevitable. Maybe go live to a forest as a hermit. Who knows? Isn't the unexpected that gives life flavor?
I will probably move to a different city where I can find a job. Are you happy with this decision?
What's happiness anyway? Also, I would say yes, just because that's what you expect me to do.
Yes.
So yeah, that's also been fun. And so it's really going to be fun to see like how all of this connects with the broader community that's heard me in a couple of places, just kind of underwriting these. Melissa Talks is now starting to use my work in her videos as well. The one she did a couple of weeks ago where she visited Joe, Ghost of Jung, where he lives, and they did a couple of things there. They didn't realize
I
heard the background.
Track, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool.
They didn't realize when they were filming that the background there was as loud as it was, and there were Taylor Swift and Adele songs going in the background. So she posted the video, took it down a couple of hours later, emailed me, because I had said it was fine to use my stuff whenever. And she said, could I actually use it? Because this is the situation. And so there's a spot at which she's layering two of my songs on top of each other to drown out Taylor Swift and Adele. So that's my claim to fame. Is I've been considered more important to hear in a mix than Adele. But she covered the whole thing in six of my songs, two of which are not released yet. So that's actually their debut to the wider world, is in the background of Melissa and Joe being goofballs.
That's a struggle with filming in public places, I tell ya. And it picks up a song and it's like, you've been copyright claimed. And you're like, no.
Take it down.
I can only imagine how terrible that must feel.
Oof. And so we have some really talented skit makers in our presence right now. And so feel free to check out their channels and they will give you a laugh. They will give you a smile to your face. So if you're looking for a pick-me-up, you're looking at the right place. Check out the beautiful creators, Lily and Kristen here. And thank you, Brandon, for making the music and for mixing it all and for bringing it all together and for bringing more lively music, how do you say it? A lively music environment to MBTI. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And Lily and Kristen have been phenomenal to work with. And I've enjoyed going on this journey of just everything with them. And it's an honor to be included in their lives like this. And to be on this panel too, like just amazing.
And I just want to take my hat off to Brandon's patience, because it took me, I think, like 11 months to get the vocals. I don't know, but it was something like that to get the vocals to him. But he was very patient, so thank you.
I'm working on the just kind of the finishing touches kinds of things with her vocals. Joyce, how much do you want spoiled of this song and its concept at this point?
You can. Yeah, you can.
Okay, yeah, because this is also awesome. It's called Multicam Behavioral Health, based on a closed captioning glitch I saw at the gym. The ad probably said Multicare Behavioral Health. That's probably what they were interpreting. But I saw that phrase, and I was so captivated by it that for the first time in years, I was like, I have to write lyrics to figure out what this means. It's almost like Lily singing her feelings, only I had to write what this phrase could mean. And what I came up with was the idea of an actress who's overwhelmed by the very busy and bright set around her and needs some time away to process. There's a song by Way Out West called Mind Circus that has a little bit of the same kind of headspace in terms of where it's coming from on this. And so, yeah, I wrote it up as an actress who needs to step away from the set and is just requesting this, like, with increasing urgency as the song goes on. But the way I convey that it's this bright, happy set is through the genre choice. So Kristen is literally fighting the genre for space, is how the concept works. And so the brightest, like, the most obvious bright, happy genre I could think of is 70s game show jazz funk. Like, The Price is Right kind of stuff, where it's that instant, everything's in lights, everything's grand, everything's busy and wonderful. And I grew up on The Price is Right and love those kinds of game shows anyway. So combining game show music with these vocals in a way that represented mental health and represented the concept of the title was really appealing to me. And then the song after it, at the end of the song, she requests really urgently to just be alone for 10 minutes. And so the song after it is called Alone for 10 Minutes, and it represents what Kristen is going through as she processes. So it's taking all the same instruments that were in Multicam Behavioral Health, but making a new song out of them, doing musical quotes out of it, but just really giving that sense of what is it like to have been in a hugely busy environment, get the chance to step out for a little bit and process, like, hypnagogically how these things recombine. So it was a great way to, like, T-I-N-E a mental health story, but I knew Kristen would be great at inhabiting, like, an INFX character in an ESFX world and giving that depth that I would have absolutely no chance of conveying. But also the song is, like, super tricky. There are three different time signatures, and none of them are 4-4. None of them are 3-4. It's like 10-4 and 15-4 and 7 plus 5 over 4 is how it actually goes. But it's all 70s instrumentation. So you've got like clavinet bass, like is in Superstition by Stevie Wonder. That's kind of the biggest clavinet bass anyone knows. And it's just going frantic. And I've got like those classic 70s horns going and all that sort of thing while Chris is singing about fighting for space. So it really is like a personality type versus the personality type of the music, lyrics fighting the music. And so I just love being able to demonstrate that concept with someone who really knows how to inhabit characters the way Kristen does. So yeah, I'm hoping to send it to mastering this week. And so the album is hopefully should be done by this time next month. So kind of mid-April. But yeah, it's a banger of a completely different sort to Lily's, but I think it will, it's no less MBTI content and it's no less me. And Kristen really brought the theater Broadway vibes. When I heard her singing in 16 Personalities Dating Their Own Type.
Wow, this is such a nice house.
Yeah, thanks.
Cool music.
Yeah, these are some of my favorite piano covers.
Awesome.
Okay, so, should we define this relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the last few weeks I've really enjoyed spending time with you. Is this a cover of La La Land?
You bet it is.
Okay, the last few weeks I've really enjoyed spending time with you, and I really love if we could... Okay, are you my boyfriend?
Yep, you're my girlfriend.
Yep.
I think about that day I left him at a Greyhound station west of Santa Fe. We were 17, but he was sweet and it was true. Still, I did what I had to do, 'cause I just knew. So on a Sunday...
And she has a duet with herself with two different ESFPs singing from La La Land.
It's the best way to do it.
Like, I have to assume the editing on that was just all kinds of weird to make sure you and you were singing.
Yeah, it was. The editing whenever I'm dating myself is always weird. I'm sure you understand, Lily. Like, when you're putting your dating yourself, the first couple of times you do it, it's very weird.
Yeah. It's the phrases that come out of the 16 personality skit world, you know, when you're dating yourself. You know? But the common thread on 16 personalities dating their own type was just commenters lining up and falling over themselves to hear more of Kristen singing. And I was like, well, hang on. I've got this song that I have no singer plans for. I know I can't sing it. And here's someone who inhabits all these characters and really has this sort of theatrical sense to it. This could work. This sounds really promising. But I ESFP'd my introductory email so hard. The subject line was something like, want to sing on my song? Selling the experience aspect before she had read anything about who I was or what this was about. Like, do you want a new experience?
Yeah.
Tell me you want a new experience.
It did catch my eye. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that was also one of the shortest emails I've ever written to Kristen because I was holding myself and my thoughts back at least a little because I was trying very, very, very hard to land you as my singer.
Little did I know, I did not know what I was in for. I still don't understand the time signature.
It was really just it originally came about as a feel-based thing. Like, there's a feeling-based way and a thinking-based way to get to unusual time signatures. Like, if you look at Eastern music, there are a lot of unusual time signatures, but it's just sort of, that's how the phrase feels it should be. You know, there's a very clinical way you can start on sheet music and be like, I want to write something that's in, 34. And I've taken that approach before for many different things. But really, for this, it was just the lyrics I had written combined with the speed of the song needed some time to breathe in between lines. So I put some space in between what you sang.
Yeah.
That is how we got there. Yeah. And things just metastasized, if that's the right word.
There was a point at which I tried honestly like 20 plus times to sing the song that Brandon had written me, and I just physically could not sing all of the syllables and hit all of the notes and like get the feeling in as well. And I was like, I can't, there are too many syllables, it's too many notes. So then Brandon, God bless him, went and changed it all and made the lyrics less syllables, and it was great, worked better.
I had to reframe the story while like cutting 1 to 2 syllables per verse line. That was my goal. If I can sort of like get each line down by a syllable or two, that's enough room to breathe. But this was all stuff I had only coached myself vocally, and that not very well. So working with Lily and Kristen in just these different head spaces and it was fascinating. I certainly learned a lot about myself, the limits of my own communicative ability. but both of you turned in just excellent work. And when Kristen's song comes out, it's going to be an avalanche. You were not ready for how frenetic this song is, but how lyrically it fits. My wife was listening to the song as I was producing stuff out loud, and I was showing her this is where it's at. She was like, that is really busy. But once I recited the lyrics, she was like, oh, okay. Yes, you're painting an intentionally busy world for the singer to be butting up against. And it's like, yes, that was my way of getting away with writing a very busy song. That was my license to do it. Is if I can put in someone who's like, hey, this is really busy.
I love the difference between Lily and my approach. Like, you gave Lily something and she went and like created her whole like song and tune and this whole other thing in her own world and made this new like masterpiece. And then for me, I was like, it's not, your instructions aren't specific enough. I need you to sing the exact notes in the exact time that you want them. Otherwise, and you were like, you know, feel free to improvise. And I was like, no, I can't. You need to give me exactly what you want me to sing, and I'll replicate it, but that's it.
You did follow my instruction. You felt as free to improvise as you liked. Ta-da. Then the amount you felt free was zero. True. But learning those different things and trying to come up with that, because half the problem is like I can't sing the exact notes because I don't have your range, and I had no earthly idea how to convey that. Like, I would love to sing the exact notes. If I knew how to sing them, I might just do the song myself. That was the issue. I'm like, I need you to pick up the ball from here at least 3%. But it totally worked out. Like, we're describing like not even a true pain point. It's just this was literally how it went down. We've now told you the various ways in which this went down and how an INTP had to learn really, really hard to communicate with not his own type as a vocal coach. But I love the experience of going for that. And I hope I got something that was at least semi-usable in that vein by the end. I don't think that I did. Like, if you say you didn't quite, that's my default believing anyway.
Yeah. I also feel like I learned a lot about myself and my process and how I do things and learn things and create things. In my sketches, it's very much about replicating what I'm seeing in people and trends I've picked up. Whenever I've done musical theater singing, it's been I have a pianist with me and we'll go over the song like hundreds of times pretty much before. So I'm really comfortable with it. I know every single note I'm going to hit. But for this, it was Brandon, who's an artist who had a track. And he had notes that, like, yeah, as you said, you couldn't hit all the notes as well. And so you were giving me this freedom. And I was like, but I need exact, I can't just create. I can't create things out of nothing, especially when I don't understand music and how it works, like in essence, how it works. So, yeah, I think Essie is so good at like replicating if we have an example or if you tell me like a feeling, but... Yeah, I certainly learned about it was very challenging. It was a challenging endeavor, but a lot of fun. And yeah, turned out well, I think so.
Yeah, I find maybe the sensing functions in general have a talent with replication too, but high up, so like SI or SE in the first or second slot of your cognitive function stack, it tends to be pretty good at replicating, because that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so fascinating. So it's almost like
it could be different for an ESFP who's like musically inclined or musically trained. But I've been trained in singing, but not in instruments or sight reading or reading music or anything. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're completely right with that. It's really cool because it's like you're taking that sensory thing in front of you and making the most out of it. Whereas with Lily's approach, it's like, I'm going to take this thing and let my imagination run wild with it. And so it's like, yeah, you're right. You can see type through how people approach life. Mm. So that's wonderful. And so... thank you, everyone, for coming out today.
Thank you.
And this was lovely. Yeah, yeah. It was such a joy to listen to all of your wonderful comments. Brandon, thanks for bringing music to the type world and that you're able to get all these creators to sing and you're able to write these songs with a million Easter eggs jam-packed into them. And so you're just reference on top of reference. And you're a beautiful example of extroverted intuition and introverted sensing working together. Like, just look at Brandon's existence and you can just feel the NESI off of it. And so your songs help people understand that access really well. There's so many references and so exploratory, and it's just so many ways to interpret it that your mind is able to be so stimulated just to try to figure out what it all means. It's like a Rubik's Cube of meaning, but it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Yeah, so endless well of interpretation, of references, of depth to the songs that you write. You know how to like just put so much meaning into every single sentence. Everything in your songs means something, and they're all playing off of each other. And so it's inception, but like meaning within a meaning within a meaning. Yeah. And so Lily, it's really cool how you're writing these songs on the cognitive functions, and you're going to be singing them too and putting them into album format. Yeah. I think the type community is really looking for that, because there's Sleeping At Last that wrote an Enneagram album for all of the songs and the Enneagram mm-hmm. types, but no one has done it for MBTI yet. So you would be entrepreneuring that. I don't know what you would be trendsetting that. So, or you would be starting that, and no one has ever done it before.
Yeah. As soon as I stop procrastinating, I will sure. Oh my god.
It happens to the best of us, I assure you.
Absolutely.
Of course. And Kristen, I really appreciate your skits. They're extremely funny. You're good at timing the jokes just right. And Lily too. And so it's splendid. And you bring this warm, energetic vibe to everything that you're a part of. You're like the sun, but you move around everywhere. And so you have that glow. and so, this is a really great chat. I love how when I have extroverted intuition users on panels, the conversation has no clear endpoint. So if we were to keep going, we would go until the universe would stop spinning. And so, or the planets would stop spinning. And so... it was a great chat.
Thank you, Joyce, for organizing this. We got to say nice things about you now, right? Like that's part of the point here. Just thank you for wanting all of us on your channel and thinking this is a neat thing, because you know I personally am excited by all this, but to have the thoughts in my niche brain resonate with like literally anyone is an amazing start. But then to have it expand out like this to where the ideas of making this kind of MBTI adjacent content as a way of like broadening who can create content in the community, what types of content we're consuming, but yet it can still reveal these truths about us and help us understand where we're coming from and where other people are coming from. I'm so excited personally to try that, but you're really picking up that vision and just doing it in the in just the kindest and nicest way I can imagine. So thank you a million times over, Joyce. This is some of the most fun I've had in my entire life.
Yeah, and I'm excited to one day maybe write a song with you too. And so you'll just have a million YouTubers just singing for you.
Yep, that's cool. That's what I'm hoping.
It's going to be really great. Yeah. And so thank you everyone for watching. I'll see you all in the next episode. Take care.
Bye.
Estás feliz de verme, pero te sorprendes cuando te toco. Espero no arruinarte esta vez. Ya no soy anónima para ti. Todos mis mejores momentos son contigo. Plantaré mis banderas sobre ti. No habrá signos de interrogación cuando esté contigo. Déjame recorrerte de arriba a abajo mientras el reloj hace tic-tac. Déjame abrir tu espacio en blanco y tus secretos. Solo te conozco como una principiante, pero quiero ser una experta. Plantaré mis banderas sobre ti. No habrá signos de interrogación cuando esté contigo. Quiero elevar el sentimiento, amor al cuadrado, 8x8. Sé que no solo tratas sobre minas, pero eres todo mío. espacio en blanco y tus secretos. Solo te conozco como una principiante. Déjame recorrerte de arriba a abajo mientras el reloj hace tic-tac. Déjame abrir tu espacio en blanco y tus secretos. Solo te conozco como una principiante. Pero quiero ser una experta. Plantar mis banderas sobre ti.
Principiante.
pero quiero ser una experta. Ando